Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told, paid for every heart that I ever stole.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to this edition of On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Boyd in Northern California, along with my co-host, Mr. Sean Wally, where we might want to say, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego, or AKA Sean Wally? How you doing, man, and where are you at?
You know, Sean, I wish we had that theme music from Carmen Sandiego, a great not only computer game, but a great TV show for years as well. Man, just incredible to see and know and to think that I'm in Iceland as we speak.
Iceland. So my goodness, I don't even have to tell you or ask you, is it cold there? I mean, it seems like it's fitting that it would be cold all year round, but you tell me. Something tells me it's probably around 20 degrees, maybe less.
Well, if my phone's correct, it says 30 or -2 local Celsius.
It's a good thing that you are the head coach of a basketball team, a professional one, by the way, the Washington Generals. And I know that you'll find a way to hunker down and, you know, possibly have a warm beverage or so.
Man, hot chocolate definitely needs to be flowing. It's this wind chill coming off the ocean is very bitter cold.
Well, let's talk about something that might heat you up a little bit. We're talking about March Madness and brackets. We're talking about brackets, man. Brackets. How's your bracket, Sean Wally?
Well, like most, it's not very great. But, you know, I actually haven't checked it. I only filled out one. And, you know, I need to take a look and see how I sit because, of course, the first couple rounds are done in the tournament this past weekend. And a lot of people are licking their wounds.
Well, you know, myself being one of them, and I don't think anyone saw this one coming in the first round. There was whenever the number 3, number 14 teams play, and the 4-13 matchup for that matter play, there's always a sense of, you know, maybe there's an upset. We've yet to see a number 1 fall to a number 16, a number 2 to a 15. It's very slim, but when you get to 3-14, 4-13, that's where things start to fall apart. And oh my goodness, Georgia State beating Baylor in the first round. I mean, maybe a couple of people saw this one coming. Maybe, you know, the southern state of Georgia saw this coming, but I didn't. And that one kind of tore me up a little bit in the early goings.
Yeah, you know, they say that nobody had that prediction and all of that, but the people that did either go to school there, work there, and there being Georgia State. So just your everyday casual March Madness college basketball fan, no, did not pick Georgia State to win that game by any means.
You know, of course, there are some ties for you and I as far as the regions are concerned. There were some games that were going on in the Pacific Northwest. Of course, Portland, Oregon hosting the preliminaries in the brackets, the NCAA tournament. And, of course, Seattle, Washington up at the Key. Of course, basketball being missed so dearly. And, of course, the Seattle fans did not disappoint, with Gonzaga actually being a host to the Key. And they didn't disappoint as well, Sean Wally.
Yeah, it was great for Gonzaga to get that draw, to have a somewhat of a local feel for Gonzaga, a place they know well, a place they've played often in years past, having a series a long time with the Washington Huskies. That, of course, hasn't been for a number of years, and they need to definitely get that up and running, to get that rivalry back and going, that in-state rivalry. And, man, Gonzaga getting to the Sweet 16, doing what they had to do at the key to move forward and hopefully get over this hump of, well, they never do anything in the dance and they're always, you know, one and done. Well, you know what? They're one of just 16 teams left.
Well, you know, as you had mentioned that, Sean, there is, you know, one of our guests, Emmy award-winning and on the Double with the Double S Express guest, Aaron Levine, touched on Gonzaga and actually what it means to the Pacific Northwest and how, you know, even though they are representing and they played well in Seattle, there's a little bit of haterade going on up in the Pacific Northwest. Why is that?
Well, I think it's a number of things. It's a small school in the northeast corner of the state, right next to Idaho and Spokane, that for whatever reason, they really only seem to have basketball as a sport. And, you know, Mark Few, some think that Mark Few being their head coach, that he will, you know, he's a little bit arrogant and boastful, and maybe rightfully so, because he's been at Gonzaga for more than a decade and turned down many, many offers to go other places, make a lot more money, get more notoriety. Yet all he does is continue to take teams to the NCAA tournament 17 straight years. The Gonzaga Bulldogs have been there. Who else can say that?
You know, and you can't take anything away from Gonzaga for doing that, Sean. You're exactly right. It doesn't matter what the conference is or, you know, if they're a power conference or a mid-major or a low mid, when you go 17 years in a row, my goodness, I mean, hats off to you, because I think the second team to ever go to consecutive tournaments is actually 6 years in a row. So for Gonzaga to go 17, that says a lot. You know, when you're starting to split the region as far as, you know, the state of Washington is concerned, I do kind of see as a devil's advocate on why it would be tough for Gonzaga to get full support in the Pacific Northwest. Let's face it, you know, Gonzaga is one of these mid-major. They're a smaller school that is showing a lot of promise. If not, let's face it, it's not promise. They are actually doing it by going to the tournament 17 years in a row. But then you have the University of Washington, who is a, you know, a prominent major school. And then Washington State, which is, God, my God, still trying to find themselves. Sometimes they have a good year. Sometimes they don't. But then you have this team such as Gonzaga that constantly makes it in and year out. Yeah, I would say there's some sour grapes, especially in Seattle, where the University of Washington presides.
Well, that's a big issue with why the Huskies and Bulldogs don't play every year like they used to. They used to do a home and home, 1 year in Seattle, 1 year in Spokane. Makes perfect sense. And for whatever reason, because people's heads got too big and somebody said, ooh, I don't like you, I don't like that color shirt you're wearing, and feelings got hurt, and they've stopped it. And that's ridiculous, because you play the Cougars twice a year. You should play the Bulldogs, who are another cross-state school that should be a rival. And you know what? They're better than you. So it's a great test to see where your program is at if you're the Huskies.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I know that Lorenzo Romar has other things that he needs to concern himself with at the University of Washington, having a dismal year this year. They look to have a strong recruiting class, a lot of guards coming in this next year, which should revitalize things. But the University of Washington is on thin ice, meaning Lorenzo Romar is on thin ice as far as this could possibly be his last hurrah if this team doesn't produce.
And I think it should be, in all fairness. I mean, yes, he's a great guy. Yes, he's done good things for the program, the arena, and they have done well in the past. But at some point, you have to look at what have you done for me lately. And it's been a number of years since they've even been in the NCAA tournament. And they started off the season great in the fall, and then the wheels just fell off.
Yeah, you know, and I can't say enough about, you know, what how great of a person Coach Romar is. But, you know, when it all boils down to it, you know, the W's are what keeps people excited. And they haven't been coming up too often for the Washington Huskies. But going back to Gonzaga and the consistency that they have had, especially throughout the tournament, of course, 19-17 overall in their history. But, of course, as you were saying, Mark Few bringing a lot of the wins as of recent for Gonzaga. They have a real tough test coming up against the UCLA Bruins. And, you know, where do you see the University – where do you see Gonzaga actually faring on this and being a number two seed against a number 11?
Oh, I'm fully behind the Bulldogs and riding them and with Kevin Pangos and Gary Bell Jr. in the backcourt. Those two are seniors and they want to go out on top and as high as they can get. And obviously Gonzaga's never won a national championship and they're only four games away from that. And those guys are special players, and Mark Few is a special coach, and I think they will be too much for UCLA to handle.
You know, there are some things that I really like about UCLA, one being the fact that they have put things together late in the season. They were one of those teams in the Pac-12 that was, you know, kind of a tweener that we couldn't figure out if they were going to be at the top or the bottom. They got things going, and now that they're in the tournament, Steve Alford has this team, the UCLA Bruins, on all cylinders behind the strong efforts of sophomore guard Bryce Alford, who is Steve's son. And, of course, magic happens all the time in the NCAA, and, you know, that's why we fill out these brackets, and that's why we do what we do as far as fans are concerned. And, you know, I don't know, Sean. As much as I want to root on the local favorite, meaning up in the Pacific Northwest, Gonzaga, I just can't help but think that UCLA, with strong consistency and their history, there is such a strong history. We don't even have to talk about that, but we will, going back to John Wooden, that UCLA has what it takes to get to, you know, the later parts of the rounds.
It's going to be very, very interesting. And, you know, there's another great weekend of college basketball ahead for this NCAA tournament and March Madness. And you've got a few top-ranked teams that are still alive, like the Dukes and the North Carolinas. So it'll be interesting to see if those guys survive as well as Gonzaga.
Well, you know, ACC basketball is right up there with SEC football. And I've always been a fan of the Duke Blue Devils. They're just one of those teams that play strong, basic, fundamental basketball, and they do it year in and year out. They had an easy time against San Diego State. And, you know, I thought San Diego State was going to do, you know, better than they showed with Coach Fisher and having his strong tutelage and what he brings to the table. But, you know, Coach K and the Duke Blue Devils really came out there, and Okafor, man, I mean, he was just a beast in the paint, and he showed that he is definitely NBA ready right now as a freshman. And I like Duke. You know, they're one of the ones that really mess up my bracket, Sean, every year, because I give Duke the benefit of the doubt. Just as you were saying with Gonzaga, I give Duke the benefit of the doubt every year that they're going to at least make it to the Elite Eight. And, you know, for the most part, they do. But then when they don't, it just seems like, you know, your whole world falls apart. But I'm looking now. Duke is getting ready to play against Utah, which Utah has surprised me, Sean Wally. I mean, I know that Utah has been one of the top teams in the Pac-12 all year. And, you know, they took care of business. They took care of business against Stephen F. Austin in the first round. I didn't see the Georgetown win coming because I also like the Georgetown Hoyas, but Utah and Duke, that should be a great matchup.
Sean, what has been your biggest surprise of the tournament this last weekend?
Well, you know, the one I mentioned earlier, Georgia State beating Baylor. You know, when you have one of the lower seeds that actually do that, you know, it catches you by surprise. I think the biggest so far is number one seed Villanova, you know, coming out of the East and losing to NC State, of course, an ACC school that I just talked about. But I didn't see Villanova losing that game, and they did. And so is life. You know, NC State goes on to play against Louisville, which I think now sets up the bracket very well for NC State. I don't see Louisville being a tough team that, one of the teams that Rick Pitino teams of the past where they can just roll through the tournament. I do see NC State actually beating Louisville in an upset this upcoming week.
Well, Sean, let's go on out to the Chandler Reach hotline and welcome in Ricky from Pasco, Washington. Ricky, you had a chance to be up close and personal with the NCAA tournament working for CBS Sports this weekend in Seattle.
Yeah, it was a pretty crazy event. You know, this is the first tournament I've worked with CBS, so it was a big experience for me.
So, Ricky, so you're up there in Seattle at the Key. I'm sure they're familiar confines for you. Obviously, you've had to have gone to a few Sonics games, correct?
Yeah, I have. What's funny about it, you know, I was there at the Gonzaga game, and that was the first time I've ever seen that arena fully packed.
Okay, that was going to be my next question because, you know, the Seattle fans do not disappoint as far as basketball is concerned. The crowd noise was up to par as far as the comparisons to a Sonics game?
Oh, man, from my experience, I have to say it was beyond a Sonics game. There was quite a few supporters there for Gonzaga. It was almost like a home game for them.
So with that feel being there in Seattle, of course, Sean and I were talking earlier as far as Aaron Levine talking about, you know, kind of a little bit of some haterade going on in Seattle because of, you know, the demographics, the area, the school, the whole nine. You didn't sense that at all at the Key?
No, not really. I mean, you know, Gonzaga's always had a good basketball program. I mean, you really can't hate on them. I mean, that's really the only thing. I mean, not trying to talk down to them, but, you know, that's their main program that they have is basketball. So, I mean, they've been doing it for years. They're in the tournament. They're in the tournament just about every year. So, I mean, so what can you really say about it?
Ricky, this chance to work for CBS Sports for NCAA basketball, your second opportunity to work NCAA basketball there with CBS. What was your role, and what did you think of the weekend?
The weekend, it was pretty crazy. Pretty crazy weekend. Long hours. You know, we were just part of the support crew for the tournament. Just helping the talent, you know, get ready for the game, and just helping them broadcast the show, pretty much.
Now, did you have any idea what it would be like going into it, considering there were four games the first day and as you were saying, super long days, a lot longer than what you've experienced in the past?
Yeah, it was definitely a little bit busier, I guess. You know, I'm usually working one game at a time, so, I mean, to work four games in one day is a little bit extreme, I think. There's really a lot that goes into it behind the scenes that a lot of people don't see. And just the amount of hours and time that gets put in is beyond what you would really think that what goes on. So, I mean, overall, it's a good experience, you know, especially if you've never been in that atmosphere before. It's definitely something to see.
Now, Ricky, definitely having the opportunity to do what you've done in the past and, you know, especially with March Madness, things seem to go a little bit more fast-paced. It's a little different than football. Football, you know, up until game time, that's when all of the action starts. But when you're actually working in the NCAA tournament, it does. It goes by fast, but you're moving at a fast pace.
Oh, yeah, everything is just so fast. I mean, the games are back-to-back. I mean, we have, like, maybe 20 minutes in between games, it seems like, and we're already starting getting ready for the next game. You know, the game pace is fast, and they don't really last that long. Compared to, like, an NBA game. So it's just really, I mean, it's nonstop, man. I think the first day I was there was probably, like, a 10-hour day. The second day was, like, a 14- to 15-hour day. So it's just, like I said, it's nonstop busy.
You know, I'm sure you got a chance to meet some celebrities there. Of course, when you have March Madness that comes into your town, you get to see, you know, maybe some people that you might not think would be there at the game. Of course, Northern Iowa was there. And when I think of Northern Iowa, I think of a quarterback for the St. Louis Rams. And, of course, the Arizona Cardinals late in his career, Kurt Warner. Now, I believe I saw him in the stands. Did you get a chance to meet with him at all?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I got to meet with him after the Northern Iowa game when they played Gonzaga. And I'm getting them mixed up. Was it Gonzaga? See, that's what happens when you work so many games. But, I definitely got to meet Kurt Warner after the game. Saw him standing there at the Northern Iowa locker room, you know. And there's tons of people there, you know. You get to see, like, you get those opportunities to meet people, network with people. It's just a great experience overall.
Now, Ricky, now that you've put in the hours and blood, sweat, and tears for CBS Sports for the NCAA tournament, what is your fondest memory you took away from the weekend?
Oh, just the experience, just the atmosphere, you know, just the college atmosphere. My personal opinion, you know, I love college sports over professional sports. The atmosphere is just insane, just the energy in the stadium, just the people to be around, people supporting their schools, just people out representing where they come from. It's just a great experience.
Now, Ricky, before we let you run, I'm curious what you think of the new Philadelphia Eagles star running back.
Oh, man. I have a biased opinion about that. But, the NFL is a business, you know, and sometimes people have to make choices as to where they need to go. But, I was kind of frustrated that he left, but at the same time, I understand the situation. You know, he was the leading rusher. He deserved to get paid. But it's a tough one. It's a tough loss. But you know, I think now any running back is replaceable with the running backs they got coming out of the draft. So that's just my personal opinion.
Now, Ricky, I take it that you are a Dallas Cowboys fan. Of course, DeMarco Murray going to the Philadelphia Eagles. That has to smart a little bit. But let me ask you this. So with the replacement right now that the Dallas Cowboys have, one in Darren McFadden, do you think that Darren can actually do the things that DeMarco Murray did?
You know, I actually think he can, and the reason why I say that is because of Dallas's offensive line. I think any running back that, you know, you consider above average is going to have some production behind that offensive line. So I think he's going to be successful. Although, I mean, you got to look at DeMarco Murray too. This is really the first season that DeMarco's really played all 16 games, and if I remember reading correctly, this past season was the first season that Darren McFadden played all 16 games. So they're both injury prone. So I'm saying, anybody that runs behind the Dallas line this upcoming year, I think is going to be successful.
Ricky in Pasco, Washington, thanks so much for your time, your insight on working the NCAA tournament in Seattle, and of course, touching on your Dallas Cowboys.
All right, appreciate it, guys.
Man, that was some good insight from Ricky talking about the NCAA March Madness up in Seattle. Of course, Sean, you and I have done that on numerous occasions, and you know, it's always fun. It is. It's fast paced. It keeps you going. You know, everybody is a little on edge because you want to do a great production. And I'm sure CBS is always, you know, they are. They're top notch when March Madness comes around. And so, oh man, I know Ricky had a lot of fun.
Yeah, Sean, it's the first one I've missed in the Northwest since 2009 when I started working March Madness for CBS. So a little bittersweet for me, but glad Ricky was able to be there and do a good job, as well as Chad Kramer and Chris Thompson and a bunch of the crew that that I know and work with, and I know they did a great job.
Yeah, you know, of course, there are some people down in Portland that we had some friends of ours that were working down there as well, and so, you know, maybe they'll call into the show. Who knows? But let's take a quick break, Mr. Wally, and when we come back, we'll probably talk a little bit more about the NCAA tournament and those brackets that you have put together. And then we'll probably talk a little bit about the NFL as well, because that's what we love to do. Keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the Double with the Double S Express.
Let's kick it.
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds. And since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away. And I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com. andro400.com.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on the Double with the Double S Express.
What's going on, everybody? Sean Wally with Sean Boyd on the Double from Iceland as well as Elk Grove, California.
Man, hey, Sean, I do want to, I got to tell the listeners, you are definitely a trooper. Of course, we bring you the best sports live. And Sean, you are taking the time out to do this show. Of course, we don't know any other way but to give it to you the best. And it is what, 2:30 in the morning where you're at in Iceland?
That is correct. 2:31 a.m. as we speak.
Man, I got to give it up to you. That is dedication at its best to be here to give you, to give our listeners great sports, and you're toughing it out, and you have a show coming up at, what, about 7 p.m., which is, what is that, the 24th? It's the 24th already where you're at?
Correct. Tuesday evening. And yeah, we have a game 7 p.m. local time. So yeah, it'd be great to see how Iceland and Reykjavik, how they turn out for the Harlem Globetrotters.
So you've had a, gosh, you've been putting some great pictures for our fans and listeners on Facebook. You know, some great vineyards. I mean, what are some of the things that you're taking away from this European trip?
Man, it's totally mind-boggling. It's like right now that I'm in Iceland and we're still able to do the show together and we're communicating, yet I'm half a world away. And the biggest thing to just gather is the time difference that, you know, it's 8 a.m. when I was in Germany, yet it was midnight for you guys there on the West Coast. And I think spending 11, 12 days in Germany was just great to see all the different architecture and talk to the locals and be able to see family that I haven't seen in 13 years. So it was great. And they're good people and good fans and great food too.
Yeah. So let's talk about that, because I was getting ready to mention that you go halfway around the world and you have family in Germany. And so, how was that? I mean, I couldn't imagine, you know, just, you know, you're halfway around the globe and you're seeing family and talking with them, and, you know, it had to be a little bit surreal.
Absolutely. I mean, of course, it's the first time I've been to Europe, and here I am having a chance to get in touch with family that I haven't seen in 13 years, as I mentioned, have time to have a dinner with them, have them come out to a Harlem Globetrotter game. And beforehand, I was able to explain to them how it works, what's going to happen, what they're going to see. And they had a blast and got to spend time with them afterwards to, you know, talk about what they thought and if they understood it all because of the language issue. And we had a German MC, so that helped if there were any questions on what was happening. And it was just great. It was just sad that we couldn't have more time together and I couldn't see where they live and things like that. But, you know, that's more reason to come back on a vacation and do that sort of stuff.
Now, on another note, I know that, you know, on this show, we do a lot of talking about the NFL, which we haven't just yet, but there you are in Germany and doing the Europe travel, and football is a little bit different over there. Have you gone through any types of withdrawals as far as not being able to talk about the NFL enough?
Oh, goodness. You know, I haven't been able to keep up with much. I've been so busy with the task at hand here in Europe that, you know, I'm missing out on the NCAA tournament, on baseball spring training, on all the free agent acquisitions. And yeah, it's like, what is big over here? You've got football in Europe, which is soccer, and these stadiums are humongous and they hold 60, 70, 80,000. And we had the chance in Stuttgart to stay at a hotel that was right next door, literally a stone's throw away from the Mercedes-Benz Arena, which was really a stadium for the Stuttgart football team, aka soccer. And on the other side of the hotel was the Porsche Arena, where we had our basketball game. So that was really cool to be sandwiched between those two venues and just see trophies that the Stuttgart team is soccer team has won, and We've actually added a soccer skit into the Globetrotter game, so that really gives the fans something to cheer about, and it's definitely been fun.
Now, outside of it being 2:30, a little past 2:30 in the morning for you, are you tired? Are you tired? Are you looking forward to this, the tour to end? Is it something that you see yourself doing continuously? I mean, what are your thoughts and how you feeling?
Yeah, man, we're definitely tired because it's go, 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 whether it's bus travel, a game every day. We have yet to have a day off, I guess, today, technically, because there was no game, meaning Monday. In a way, it's a day off, but we left the hotel at 7 a.m. to fly from Dusseldorf, Germany to London. Then we had a five-hour layover and then fly from London to Iceland. So not exactly a day of rest by any means.
So if there is anything that you can give to maybe one of our listeners who is aspiring to coach and looking to travel or possibly even be a part of the Harlem Globetrotters, what is something that you can give? What's a takeaway for them of encouragement that you can give them moving forward?
To be prepared and ready to be a road warrior, and that contact with family and friends is slim to none, except when, you know, you have the time. But then when you have the time difference plays a factor. So you might have time in the afternoon before a game, but the afternoon in Europe is very early morning in the United States, depending on, you know, especially the West Coast for you know, you and I and my family and friends up in the Pacific Northwest. So it's definitely a great way to be able to go to various parts of the world. But so far, there hasn't been a lot of rest, relax, and take in the sights time, which that's supposed to change here as we move into France in the next week or so.
Oh, man, I tell you, I'm really proud of you and the things that you're doing. And, of course, you know, keep sending those pictures and uploading them to Facebook so that we can get a chance to see something different in the world through your eyes. And, again, I'm so excited. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we're going to wrap the show up talking some NFL, possibly a little bit of NBA. You're listening to The Best Sports Talk on The Double with the Double S Express. Everybody get up.
Are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret, a new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product, helped me a lot. It took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on The Double with the Double S Express.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Boyd alongside Sean Wally. Man, Sean, you are definitely being a trooper, as I've mentioned throughout this show, man. You're coming up on 3 a.m. in Iceland. And, you know, pardon me, buddy, if I sound a little bit more enthused than you. But it is going on 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, so I've got a little bit more energy.
Well, shoot, you know, if we'll be able to look back on this here in a few minutes and say, man, you know, we did a show from Iceland. So that's part of the awesomeness of it. And then, you know, shoot, you know, I'm hoping I might be getting double time for this hour, huh?
Yeah, that'd be great to definitely get double time. Man, there are some things going on in the NBA. And I know that this is a topic that, you know, is really touchy for you being up in the Pacific, being from the Pacific Northwest, and even for me personally as well, with no Sonics just yet. Let's just say that, Sean, because I believe that the Sonics will be back in the next few years or so. I think some great things are happening in Seattle. It might not come directly as far as an NBA franchise coming to Seattle, in that sense to where the NHL might be in Seattle before the NBA does, but I do believe the Sonics will be back. But with that being said, the NBA, man, I'm excited that the Golden State Warriors are doing damage. Best team in the NBA, along with the best player, I believe, in the NBA. And there's been some questions as of late as to who might be the MVP. Of course, Steph Curry is playing excellent basketball for the Warriors, and you know, he's averaging about 24 points a game for the season, and all he does is just helps his team. But there are also two other players, James Harden for the Houston Rockets. And, man, I hate to bring this one up because I know it just sticks to you, but Russell Westbrook, we'll call him Mr. Triple-Double over the past, I mean, since the All-Star break, I believe he has, I think, 12 triple-doubles or something crazy like that since the All-Star break. Who do you think should win the MVP, Sean Wally?
Well, I'm glad you went there because you read my mind. That's where I wanted you to go because this has been a heated topic amongst the players on both the Globetrotters and Generals is who should be the MVP in the NBA. And there's a lot in the camp for Russell Westbrook with, yes, his 9 triple-doubles, and the entire NBA only has 6 in that same time frame. I would, gosh, you know what? I'm not a proper, unbiased guy to discuss Westbrook because not only was he the final Sonics first round draft pick, but he also said he didn't want to play for the Sonics. And now look at what he's doing. But I also look at it as I thought early on in his career, he was a ball hog and he at times shows that he still is, but he's also better now because he also has a lot of assists. Otherwise he wouldn't have triple doubles. That being said, look at the Thunder's record. Not very good. And if you've got one guy trying to steal the show, a.k.a. Russell Westbrook, and it's not working, hello, you've got Kevin Durant, who I would argue is a better player all around, but I know he's been injured more often than not.
Yeah, you know, as you mentioned, Kevin Durant being injured, that is one of the reasons why Russell Westbrook has the numbers that he has. And you know, I can't fault him, to be honest with you. I mean, if you're the only guy that can actually, you know, help your team get the wins, which, you know, I think Oklahoma City is a little bit better than that. But as you were saying, they're 40-30. And I believe they're sitting as the number 8 team in the West. And so if the season were to end, you're looking at the Golden State Warriors playing against Oklahoma City in the first round, which that would be a tough, tough task for the Golden State Warriors, but I still think that this is the Warriors' year. I think that with all things considered, they have all the right pieces. you know, if we're talking about this MVP run, and I believe James Harden for the Houston Rockets, which he's doing an excellent job as well. They're a few wins above the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're sitting at 47-23. I think James Harden had 44 points tonight. So these guys are doing a real good job. Now, of course, I'm going to be a little biased myself, Sean. I'm going to say that Steph Curry is the out-and-out MVP. And the reason being is because this is something that Golden State has been doing all year. They've just been playing top-notch basketball from Steve Kerr in his first year as a head coach with the Golden State Warriors. I just think that, you know, he's been Mr. Consistent. Now, if you're talking about the past couple of weeks or the past few weeks as far as basketball play between Russell Wilson and James Harden, well, yeah, they have upped their intensity a little bit, but with just reason. We just talked about Kevin Durant being injured. Of course, for the Houston Rockets, they have a few injuries as well, and you know, which causes these guys to actually step it up a notch. Here's my thing, Sean. Here's my concern. When people vote for the MVP, and this isn't, I don't know, some of the players say it's not really that big of a deal, but when they win it, it becomes this fanfaric type of thing. My thing is this for Steph Curry. And here's going to be my push for the reason why Steph Curry should be the MVP. If you've done what you needed to do early on in the season, which Golden State has clinched the number one seed, there's no reason for you to actually push yourself when the whole point is in a team atmosphere to win the NBA title. So if I'm a voter, I would have to put that into consideration that Steph doesn't have to play hard for the rest of the year. These guys are up by 14 points at the end of the fourth quarter. Maybe he plays a couple more minutes and then you sit him because you have to rest these guys because they're preparing for the NBA title. So that's why I think that Steph is the best player. That's why I think he's the, well, wait, let me take that back. That's why I believe that he's the MVP of the NBA. Now, if we're talking about the best player, let's face it, hands down, I'm just going to give it to LeBron James because I do. I think he's just the best player in the NBA. But when you're talking about assets for your team and the person that's helped them get to where they need to be right now, the best team in the NBA, it's got to be Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors.
And Sean, a few things we haven't had the chance to touch on since we didn't have a live show last week. 2 weeks ago, we had Chris Egan on as a big-time guest from King 5 Sports in Seattle, and we talked about the Seahawks possibly adding a tight end, and that maybe being Julius Thomas. Well, then the very next day, they did add a tight end, but it was New Orleans Saints Jimmy Graham in a trade with the Saints sending center Max Unger to the Saints.
You just couldn't do it, could you? You couldn't do it. I was getting ready to bring it in. You just couldn't do it. A whole hour we had to talk about some other sports, and I teased it for the longest, but you couldn't hold out. We're talking about the Seattle Seahawks and Jimmy Graham, the Jimmy Graham trade, and Max Unger. Man, I love you. I wish I would have bet somebody that you couldn't hold out an hour. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. So,
I bet you wouldn't have bet this, that I would have also said, hey, there's a former Super Bowl MVP, now a member of the Raiders.
Now, you know, that's an awesome, we can talk about that a little later. I do want to talk about Jimmy Graham coming to the Seattle Seahawks, though. I think that, you know, if you're trying to win, if you're the other 31 teams that are trying to win a Super Bowl, I think the object is to make sure that the team that is considered the best team in the NFL, because I believe the Seattle Seahawks are preseason number one. They're ranked number one in this early poll before even the draft going into next year. The last thing you'd want to do is help that team fill a void. And One of the things that the Seahawks have been lacking over the past few years in their Super Bowl runs is having a strong tight end, a tight end that, you know, is a playmaker, especially in the style of offense that the Seattle Seahawks run. And to just hand, I mean, literally, I believe the New Orleans Saints handed the Seattle Seahawks Jimmy Graham. It is just beyond me, Sean. I don't even know why New Orleans thought that was a great idea. I know that they need to beef up their offensive line and maybe they need a center. You could have got a center from anywhere else. You could have picked one up bagging groceries at a Safeway if he's 6'3", 340 pounds, and he's quick and agile. But to actually give up arguably one of your best players on the team to a team that was already in the Super Bowl, that was 1 yard away from winning their second Super Bowl, why in the world would the New Orleans Saints do that?
Well, they're definitely cutting costs in New Orleans and trying to revamp, and it definitely starts in the trenches. And Max Unger's a Pro Bowl center. He's had injury issues the last 2 years, so hopefully he can get healthy and help the Saints out.
Well, it makes great sense for the Seahawks to do that. I just don't understand why the Saints saw this as being a great idea. Now I know that Jimmy Graham's contract is very heavy as far as what how much are the Seahawks in for Jimmy Graham? What's his contract?
Ouch. Putting me on the spot. Look at you.
It has to,
and I'll find out.
It has to be, I think it's like a 4-year deal for like $60 million, something crazy. I mean, it is ridiculous that Seattle swallowed that, but at the same time, you know, he's the missing piece. You have your quarterback. You have, you know, Marshawn Lynch back now, who's signed. You have some pretty good receivers. I mean, let's face it, they're not bad. They're not great, but they're not bad. And then you still have your defense intact. So, you know, what Seattle needed was the tight end position, and they got their guy.
Graham will earn only $2.9 million in 2015, and a $5 million roster bonus due at the end of March. His base salaries for 2016 and 2017 are $8.9 million and $7.9 million.
Okay.
So each year, he signed a 4-year, $40 million deal before last season.
Okay, so it's $40 million. Okay. So that's not bad. That's not bad at all. I mean, so again, Seattle came out on the rosier end on this, and I just don't understand why New Orleans saw this as a good idea to do a trade when all the other teams are trying to build during this free agency period. New Orleans thought, hey, trade sounds good. We'll trade for, you know, a center that, you know, has a lot of question marks, has a couple of injuries over the past few years, but hey, we'll give you arguably one of the best receivers. Keep in mind, when Jimmy Graham got his contract a couple of years ago, he was arguing to get receivers money. So that's how good Jimmy Graham is. And for New Orleans to just give him up like that, it just, oh, my goodness. Hats off to Seattle. I just, let's just give you guys the Super Bowl once again, because, you know, and we can all thank the New Orleans Saints for this one. Thank you.
2 out of 3, that's I'll take it. That's not bad odds.
Now, there is a question mark, though. So Pete Carroll came out yesterday, and he is highly concerned about Russell Wilson because Russell seems to be having some psychological problems over the decision that he made that last play. And so he's been going to counseling and all kinds of stuff, and Pete Carroll came out and said that he was a little concerned about it. What do you think about that?
Wow. Sean Boyd bringing Sean Wally breaking Seahawk news. That's a first. well, I guess that's what happens when I'm half a world away. You know, if that's the case, good for him for talking to somebody and trying to get those haunts and those demons away, because they can't do any good. And that play, the moment it was intercepted, was over, was done, game over, move on. You have to. And that's what Pete Carroll's teams have been great at. That's what Russell hopefully is good at, and he will be able to do that. And it might be until September when the games are real again, or maybe even not until the playoffs when he gets over a certain hurdle, or heck, maybe it'll have to be until he gets back to another Super Bowl, if he does. Hopefully, of course, the 12th man thinks he does, thinks he will, and hopes he does. And now with rumors of his impending monster contract about to be done here in the near future, maybe that'll help too.
So how good do you think Jimmy Graham will be in the Seattle offense with a healthy Russell Wilson? And, do you think that's the cure that ails Russell right now? I mean, going into next season, you have Jimmy Graham coming in. Last tight ends the Seahawks have had, you've had Luke Wilson, who actually did a pretty good job. The Seahawks just released, Miller, the former Oakland Raider. And, he's been riddled with injuries. So I think that Jimmy Graham is definitely what Seattle needs, or what Russell Wilson needs.
Well, immediately Graham makes everybody else on the offense better, because who do you cover? You have to cover Jimmy Graham. He's 6'5". He can go up and get the jump balls, especially in the red zone. But if you have to keep one or two guys on Jimmy Graham, that frees up single coverage for the Doug Baldwins, the Chris Matthews, who came on in the Super Bowl, the Lakewood's finest Jermaine Kearse, and the other tight ends you mentioned. So I think it has a snowball's effect, and it just does great things overall for the offense.
Now, shifting gears, you were talking about Malcolm Smith, the actual MVP of the Seattle Seahawks Super Bowl win, now becoming an Oakland Raider. And, of course, having Ken Norton Jr. coming over as the defensive coordinator for the Oakland Raiders. Oakland's done a couple of things here in the offseason, very subtle, but once you see what they're trying to do, they're beefing up their defense along with that linebacker core that is very similar to what was going on in Seattle.
And that's what you would expect from a Ken Norton Jr.-led defense, bringing ideas, thoughts, and even pieces from Seattle that did well for him in that defense. And, you have to build with speed, youth, and some size, and that's what they're trying to do.
I think that, Oakland's on to something. They have two strong defensive-minded coaches in their coaching staff with Jack Del Rio, of course, the head coach, and Ken Norton Jr., who's the defensive coordinator, and they're trying to build a beast on the defensive side. And, of course, having Reggie McKenzie, who's also a linebacker as well. These guys are all on the same page. I think that you'll see a better team. I think the bigger concern in Oakland right now, Sean, is, man, will there be an Oakland Raiders team past 2016? And what I mean by that is Oakland, the city council is coming up very slow on coming together for a new stadium, when it seems like Los Angeles might have two, possibly three teams by 2016.
Well, it's a shame that city and county governments seem to always wait until the last minute, till the 11th hour, to get something done. It'd be nice if civic leaders would get in front of the eight ball and make things happen before teams pack up and move, and before owners say things that tick people off and maybe hurt the fan base. And, just get together, put your heads together. There's enough money, especially on the private side. Get a lot of that private money in there to help out and get it done.
Yeah, I hope that the city of Oakland can actually come together along with the county on making the decision for, you know, a stadium for this team. They're talking about Coliseum City, which actually entails a design for all three teams, meaning the Oakland Raiders, Oakland A's, and the Golden State Warriors. Of course, the Golden State Warriors have 1 foot outside the door going across the bay to San Francisco, but they're in the preliminaries on these designs. I hope that the city council and, you know, the local government gets this right. It doesn't seem like it right now, especially going into the NFL owners meetings that are down in Arizona, to where owners are going to have to vote one way or another on what's going on in St. Louis. Will they allow the St. Louis Rams to move to Los Angeles? And if that's the case, then you're looking at the San Diego Chargers and the Oakland Raiders with offers down in Carson as well. And so it's just a big mess, Sean. I mean, we've got a whole another hour we can talk about that. But, man, it is. It's a mess here in Northern California, and hopefully Oakland can fix things.
Has there been any kind of drop-dead date yet to where something has to be done, or is it still just all smoke and mirrors?
Well, so far this past week, the city council has voted yes on Coliseum City, which means that tomorrow's vote is a big vote to where the county will actually vote in favor of the stadium. The only problem that we're having in Oakland right now is that I think they're talking with a real estate investor as far as the stadium is concerned, and the NFL does not like this idea, and they haven't signed off on it. So I guess the question is why are they talking to this real estate investor if that's not what the final plan would be for the NFL? Does the NFL say, hey, we offer you guys $250 million. Now we're going to take back that $250 million if you go with this local investor? I mean, these are questions that need to be answered. I think the Raiders are moving in the right direction, or I think the city and the county are moving in the right direction. The bad thing is they just haven't included the Oakland Raiders, which is horrible because that's going to be the tenant of the new stadium. So we'll see. It's, you know, just one of those messes down here that I hope gets fixed soon.
Yeah, hopefully all the parties get together, iron everything out, and keep teams where they belong, because as we know from the past when the Raiders have moved and with the Sonics being taken away, it definitely hurts and doesn't help things for that local area at all.
Right. And so, you know, that's what's going on down in this neck of the woods. So, Sean, you're going to be in Iceland for a couple of days. Where's the next stop after that?
Thursday, we fly to France and have 10 days to 2 weeks all over France.
Oh, man, that should be a lot of fun, and look forward to seeing some more pictures uploaded on Facebook. Man, this is coming to the end, man. Show number 94. Sean, can you believe it? 6 more shows. We're going to have that centennial, that 100th show. I'm looking forward to that, man.
Oh, man, that's amazing to think that we started May of 2013, and now we're almost 100 shows in, and we got to do that show big time.
Just another feather in the cap, man. And I'm just excited again, you know, that you're taking the time out at 3 a.m. I'm rubbing it in to give us some great sports, man. I appreciate you 110% for this one, man. So we're gonna let you lay your head on the pillow and look forward to having a wonderful show actually later on this evening for you.
Thanks a lot, Sean. It's been a fun journey, and we'll see what Iceland has to offer and how they pack the arena. And big thanks to Ricky and Pasco for calling in and chiming in on his experience in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, man, and that's very, very exciting, you know, that Ricky gave those, you know, gave his input on what it was like to work behind the scenes. And, you know, it is a tough job, but, hey, you know, like the saying goes, somebody has to do it. Man, show number 94 is in the books. We'll talk to you again next week about all things sports. And of course, for those of you who have those NCAA brackets intact, Godspeed to you. For those whose brackets are a little bit messed up, hey, maybe next year. Show number 94 in the books. For Sean Wally in Iceland, I'm Sean Boyd. Don Newsom, the engineer, you've been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.